Day, most wonderful day, the anniversary of the appearance of Lord Sri Krishna in this world. We will read some verses from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which are describing the appearance of the Lord, or at least at this point in the day, some of the events leading up to the appearance of the Lord. And this evening we will complete the reading by actually reading those verses describing the actual appearance of the Lord. For the time being though, let us read about the events leading up to the Lord's appearance. We'll begin with Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 1, The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction, Text 17. Bhumir dritta nripa vyacha daityanika shatayutai akranta buribhalena brahmanam sharanam yayo. Once, when Mother Earth was overburdened by hundreds of thousands of military phalanxes of various conceited demons dressed like kings, she approached Lord Brahma for relief. Brahmata upadaryata sahadevaistaya saha Jigama Sachi Nayana Stiram Kshira Payonite. Thereafter, having heard of the distress of Mother Earth, Lord Brahma with Mother Earth, Lord Shiva, and all the other demigods approached the shore of the ocean of milk. Tatrayatva Jagannatha Deva Devam Vrishakapim Purusham Purushas Purusham Purushas Suktena Upataste Samahita. After approaching the shore of the ocean of milk, the demigods worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the Master of the whole universe, the Supreme God of all gods, who provides for everyone and diminishes everyone's suffering. With great attention, they worship Lord Vishnu, who lies on the ocean of milk, by reciting the Vedic mantras known as the Purusha Sukta. I'll just read the translations. While in trance, Lord Brahma heard the words of Lord Vishnu vibrating in the sky. Thus he told the demigods, in other words, Lord Brahma told the demigods, O demigods, hear from me the order of Shiradakshai Vishnu, the Supreme Person, and execute it attentively without delay. Lord Brahma informed the demigods, before we submitted our petition to the Lord, he was already aware of the distress on earth. Consequently, for as long as the Lord moves on earth to diminish its burden by his own potency in the form of time, all of you demigods should appear through plenary portions as sons and grandsons in the family of the Yadus. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, who has full potency, will personally appear as the son of Vasudeva. Therefore, all the wives of the demigods should also appear in order to satisfy him. So it's a very interesting point in terms of background. All the demigods appear, and many of the other great personalities in the universe, so many of them appeared prior to the appearance of Lord Krishna. Of course, so many residents of the kingdom of God appeared also, so many of them. But also, all the demigods, or so many of the demigods, they appeared in the Yadu dynasty. So, sometimes we think, or we may hear it in such a way that Kamsa, he was some sort of upstart king, rascal, you know, some sort of just a very powerful king, and in this way he was dominating things on the planet in very negative ways. And therefore Krishna appeared to rid the world of him. Of course, the first verse we read, which, if you're familiar with Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book, you would recognize the first verse as the first sentence of the Krishna book. So the first verse says that Mother Earth was heavily overburdened by the weight of the military phalanxes, all these soldiers of different of these certain demoniac kings who are present. Actually, elsewhere in the Vedic literatures, it's described that in fact, not only had all the demigods appeared, of course all the so many of the prominent inhabitants of the kingdom of God, plus so many demigods, but actually all the celestial demons had also taken birth in the demoniac families, and they were now in the positions of all these demoniac kings. So the description is that really, at least in a sort of cosmic sense, the battle of Kurukshetra and the whole situation and all the conflict leading up to the battle of Kurukshetra, it was actually a great confrontation between the godly people and the demons, and really what was at stake was the control of the universe, not just the control of India or planet Earth or something like that, but this whole conflict, it was a conflict on a much broader scale. For example, Duryodhana, Srila Prabhupada describes as an empowered incarnation of Kali. Of Kali. The personality of Kali Yuga. So it was a big thing. It was a big thing. And Krishna appeared. On the basis of the appeal of the demigods headed by Lord Brahma. So let us continue reading. What the Pope will read next, this is all dealing with the wedding, or what happened immediately after the wedding, of Vasudeva and Devaki. Some time ago, Vasudeva, who belonged to the demigod family, or to the Shura dynasty, married Devaki. After the marriage, he mounted his chariot to return home with his newly married wife. Kamsa, the son of Ugrasena, in order to please his sister, Devaki, on the occasion of her marriage, took charge of the reins of the horses and became the chariot driver. He was surrounded by hundreds of golden chariots. So the verse says, his sister, Swasu, his sister. Actually, they are cousin sisters. They're not directly sister and brother, but they're cousin, brother, cousin, sister. Devaki's father, King Devaka, was very much affectionate to his daughter. Therefore, while she and her husband were leaving home, he gave her a dowry of 400 elephants, nicely decorated with golden garlands. He also gave 10,000 horses, 1,800 chariots, and 200 very beautiful young maidservants, fully decorated with ornaments. So, the scale of the opulence compared to the scale of the opulence today was very different. 400 elephants, then, of course, they have to maintain the elephants. I was reading about the famous temple Guru Vayur in South India, where they still keep elephants. Some, I forget how many, but some number, a number of elephants. But not so many like they used to, and of course it was very common in the big temples, they would keep elephants. But now, generally you don't find, maybe here and there, a handful. But Guru Vayur, they still have some elephants. I was reading, the cost of maintaining one elephant nicely is something like $1 million a year. Something like that. It's very expensive to keep elephants. So, 400 elephants. Keep them. That's a big job. Only the kings could do that. When the bride and bridegroom were ready to start, conch shells, bugles, drums, and kettle drums all vibrated in concert for their auspicious departure. While Kamsa, controlling the reins of the horses, was driving the chariot along the way, an unembodied voice addressed him. You foolish rascal, the eighth child of the woman you are carrying will kill you. So, Sanskrit, of course, is a very precise language in many ways. Translation is the eighth child. But the Sanskrit word is in masculine gender. Yeah. So it means that eighth child will be a boy and will kill you. So one of the arguments later was that the eighth child was apparently a girl. But that was not the prediction. So, yeah. Kamsa was a condemned personality in the Bhoja dynasty because he was envious and sinful. Therefore, upon hearing this omen from the sky, he caught hold of his sister's hair with his left hand and took up his sword with his right hand to sever her head from her body. Well, there's a verse we'll read shortly which makes the point that someone who's a demon will do anything for his self-interest. Doesn't matter. If it's for his self-interest, no cost is too great, no price is too high, no body is too close to him to not be killed. Yeah. This is Kamsa. Wanting to pacify Kamsa, who was so cruel and envious that he was shamelessly ready to kill his sister, the great soul, Vasudeva, who was to be the father of Krishna, spoke to him in the following words. Vasudeva said, "My dear brother-in-law Kamsa, you are the pride of your family, the Bhoja dynasty, and great heroes praise your qualities. How could such a qualified person as you kill a woman, your own sister, especially on the occasion of her marriage, or any time really?" So, one point which comes out as we read through this narration is that, well, first of all, Shukadeva Goswami has made the point that actually this Kamsa was a condemned personality. It was already known. It wasn't that just now he became condemned through all of this. He was already a condemned personality because he was envious and sinful in the extreme. He had already locked up his own father so that he could rule without any possible interference. So he was already, it was clear, certainly to anyone who was aware of Vedic principles and particularly to the devotees, it was extremely clear who, what is Kamsa. He is just, as Prahlad Maharaj said to his father, Hiranyakashipu, Asurya Varya, best of the demons. Doesn't mean the nicest of the demons. It means the most demoniac of the demons. That's the best of the demons. But Vasudev is in a different mood. Vasudev, of course, is a Kshatriya. He's not Brahman, he's not Vaishya, he is Kshatriya, but he's a particular type of Kshatriya. He is the type of Kshatriya who is a minister, an advisor, that type, sort of the politician type, making up the policies and seeing how to rule. Not the big physical soldier warrior type Kshatriyas. If he had been that type of Kshatriya, then even though his death would have been certain if he tried to confront someone like Kamsa, he would have just physically confronted him and not with words. But because he was a minister, and he was extremely astute, and very brilliant in interpersonal dealings and means, really, diplomacy. How to speak to people. As they say, as the bumper sticker says, how to tell a person to go to hell in such a way he looks forward to the journey. Excuse me. But really, it's like that. So here he is. His wife is about to have her head cut off in the next 2 seconds by this atrocious person, and Vasudeva is extremely well aware that this Kamsa is just the most shocking and horrific person. Just too terrible. But he addresses him as Kamsa is there, holding Devaki's hair in his hand, lifting the sword. My dear brother-in-law. And then praising him. You are the pride of your family. Of course, you know, the family, at least that side of the family, many of them are demons also. So he was the pride of the demons. Great heroes praise your quality. How could such a qualified person as you? So he is, as they say, thinking on his feet. He doesn't have to sit down and just, you know, pull himself together and then think about it for a while. He's completely on the ball. And now he's addressing Kamsa in such a way as to, he hopes, pacify him and get him to stop. So he continues, very much in the same vein. Oh, great hero! One who takes birth is sure to die, for death is born with the body. One may die today or after hundreds of years, but death is sure for every living entity. When the present body turns to dust and is again reduced to 5 elements, earth, water, fire, air, and ether, the proprietor of the body, the living entity, automatically receives another body of material elements according to a string of activities. When the next body is obtained, he gives up the present body. So like this, he preaches to Kamsa in different ways to try to convince Kamsa, don't do it. Why don't do it? Because it will be bad for you. This is how to deal with the demon. Don't tell him it's going to be good for someone else. Tell him it will be good for him to act in a certain way. Since envious, impious activities cause one to get a body in which one suffers in the next life, why should one act impiously? Considering one's own welfare, one should not envy anyone, because it's not good for you. For an envious person must always fear harm from his enemies, either in this life or in the next. As your younger sister, this poor girl Devaki is just like your own daughter and deserves to be affectionately maintained. You are merciful. He's really stretching things. You are merciful, and therefore you should not kill her. Indeed, she deserves your affection. Shukadev Goswami continued, O best of the Kuru dynasty, that's Maharaj Parikshit, Kamsa was fiercely cruel and was actually a follower of the Rakshasas, the cannibals. Therefore, he could be neither pacified nor terrified by the good instructions given by Vasudeva. He did not care about the results of sinful activities, either in this life or in the next. When Vasudeva saw that Kamsa was determined to kill his sister Devaki, he thought to himself very deeply. Considering the imminent danger of death, he thought of another plan to stop Kamsa. As long as one has intelligence and bodily strength, an intelligent person must try to avoid death. This is the duty of every embodied person. But if death cannot be avoided in spite of one's endeavors, a person facing death commits no offense. This is also a very interesting point. And in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada addresses this point, that when a person is facing death, one is duty bound to try to avoid it. It's not exactly that one should just stay there, sit there and think, well, I know what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. I am not this body, so I shouldn't worry about it. So let them cut off my hand. Here I am. One should try to avoid death, because this body, I think that was the wrong bhava. Ram bhava. I think that's the wrong bhava too. Yes, this body does not belong to us. It is on loan. It belongs to someone else. It belongs to the material nature. Ultimately, it belongs to Krishna. And as such, seeing it is on loan to us, we are duty bound to look after it properly. And we cannot just say, well, what does it matter? I'm not this body. But one is duty bound to protect the body. Otherwise, it's considered sinful activity, and one will get sinful reactions. Yeah. However, when the prospect of death is unavoidable, then it's not sinful if your body is killed. You're not committed sinful activity. So now Vasudeva is continuing to think very intelligently what to do in the face of this incredible threat of danger. By delivering all my sons to Kamsa, who is death personified, I shall save the life of Devaki. Perhaps Kamsa will die before my sons take birth, or, since he is already destined to die at the hands of my son, one of my sons may kill him. For the time being, let me promise to hand over my sons, so that Kamsa will give up this immediate threat, And if in due course of time comes a dies, I shall have nothing to fear. Very quick calculation. How to manage the discussion. How to manage Kamsa. When a fire, for some unseen reason, leaps over one piece of wood and sets fire to the next, the reason is destiny. Similarly, when a living being accepts one kind of body and leaves aside another, there is no other reason than unseen destiny. After thus considering the matter as far as his knowledge would allow, Vasudeva submitted his proposal to the sinful Kamsa with great respect. Vasudeva's mind was full of anxiety because his wife was facing danger. But in order to please the cruel, shameless, and sinful Kamsa, he externally smiled and spoke to him as follows. Can you imagine in such a situation smiling and speaking in very pleasant ways? Can you imagine? But Vasudeva, he is truly an expert. Truly great, great expert. Vasudeva said, "Oh, best of the solar, you have nothing to fear from your sister Devaki because of what you've heard from the unseen omen. The cause of death will be her sons. Therefore I promise that when she gives birth to the sons from whom your fear has arisen, I shall deliver them all unto your hands." Srila Shukadeva Goswami continued, Kamsa agreed to the logical arguments of Vasudeva, and having full faith in Vasudeva's words, he refrained from killing his sister. Vasudeva, being pleased with Kamsa, pacified him further and then entered his own house. This is, of course, another very amazing point. Vasudeva is such an amazing person that he was already famous for being honest and in general of high moral character, like being not proud, not envious, and being very compassionate. He was already very, very famous for possessing these qualities. Something like Maharaj Yudhisthira. Maharaj Yudhisthira was famous for being honest, particularly. Yes. So Vasudeva was also famous for being honest. And even though Kamsa, he was so bad, and his personality was so deeply corrupted, so deeply corrupted by all these low character traits of envy, pride, dishonesty, and so on like that. He was just the embodiment of the most horrible demoniac personal characteristics, as are, frankly, so common nowadays. So extremely common nowadays. So, but despite him being so dishonest, and intolerant and unkind and so on like that. And as a result of being in such a state of consciousness, not being a person who is very willing to put his trust in anyone else, still he trusted Vasudeva. He still trusted Vasudeva. Vasudeva said, "I will deliver my sons to you." Kamsa accepted that, because Vasudeva was so extremely well known for being honest, and also, like Maharaj Yudhisthira, for never ever having told a lie in his life. Therefore, even someone like Kamsa would trust him. You know what happened to Shivaji, right? Shivaji, you know Indian history? He defeated the Muslim, whoever he was, about, I don't know, 15 times, and let him go each time, alive. One time he lost, and the Muslim king and his army defeated him and captured him. They immediately executed Shivaji. Yeah. Although he had spared the Muslim king's life like 15 times or maybe even more times. So people who are demoniac, not only are they not trustworthy, but they also cannot trust. It's all part of the corruption of character, which happens when a person becomes attached to material existence. It infiltrates their personality in so many ways. So they become unreliable and unable to attribute reliability to other people, and so on and so forth like that. They become so envious, and they automatically assume other people are also envious like that. Yes, so Atmavan Manyate Jagat. You see the world as your mind is, as your, whatever your state of mind is, you see the world, or in other words, you see everybody else. But still, Vasudeva was of such impeccable character, and it was so extremely well known, that even Kamsa, who was the lowest of the low, was able to accept his word. Each year thereafter, in due course of time, Devaki, the mother of God, and all the demigods, gave birth to a child. Thus, she bore 8 sons, one after another, and a daughter named Subhadra. That was actually later, after they were released from prison. Vasudeva was very much disturbed by fear of becoming a liar by breaking his promise. Thus, with great pain, he delivered his firstborn son, named Kirtiman, into the hands of Kamsa. This is a very interesting verse now. What is painful for saintly persons who strictly adhere to the truth? How can there not be independence for pure devotees who know the Supreme Lord as the substance? What deeds are forbidden for persons of the lowest character? And what cannot be given up for the sake of Lord Krishna? by those who have fully surrendered at his lotus feet. So actually, we spoke about this verse last night in Phoenix. Saintly people, ultimately it means devotees, who are attached to the truth, to the absolute truth, and who understand that the only valuable thing in life is the truth, or the absolute truth, Krishna. So, anything that they have to do for the sake of the truth is good, is desirable. They want that. Even if from the material point of view, or their own material point of view, it might be uncomfortable, or they might lose something that people would generally consider valuable like that. But for the advanced saintly people, if the price of achieving the truth is to give up something like that, it's a small price to pay. It's no price. Immediately they give it up as insignificant. And the pure devotees are independent of the material nature, not independent of Krishna. They're independent of the material nature. And whatever happens in the material nature doesn't make any difference. Because they know the real essence of everything is Krishna and pleasing Krishna. So whatever happens, however the material nature fluctuates and however things change in this way or that, because the devotees know material nature is always fluctuating. Today it's so-called good, tomorrow it's so-called bad. Doesn't make any difference. But the substance, the essence, is Krishna. So the devotees carry on, independent of the material nature, simply pleasing the Lord. And what deeds are forbidden for persons of the lowest character, at least within their minds? Of course, many activities are forbidden by the laws of karma, by the laws of the state. Many things are forbidden in that sense. But for people of the lowest character, there is only one law. Whatever is good for me, that's what I do. Whatever is good for me, as I understand good for me. And anything which fulfills that is good, is not forbidden. Even if it's a matter of killing anybody, cheating anybody, causing pain to anybody, it's fine. If it's good for me, it's right. And what cannot be given up for the sake of Lord Krishna by those who have fully surrendered at his lotus feet? My dear King Parikshit, when Kamsa saw that Vasudeva, being situated in truthfulness, was completely equipoised in giving him the child, he was very happy. Therefore, with a smiling face, he spoke as follows. When is Panchmanat? Panchdas. O Vasudeva, you may take back your child and go home. I have no fear of your first child. It is the eighth child that you and Devaki are concerned with, because that is the child by whom I am destined to be killed. Vasudeva agreed and took his child back home. But because Kamsa had no character, and no self-control. Vasudeva knew that he could not rely on Kamsa's word. Yes, important point. People who have low character, people who have no self-control, cannot be trusted because they have no self-control. So Kamsa is feeling some sentiment. Oh, look at this. This Vasudeva is so nice. He trusts me so much. Oh, let me be nice to him. It's just a circumstantial sentiment. But when the circumstances change, the sentiment changes. And the sentiment is shortly going to change, actually. Because the demons, the demoniac ministers, are going to come and advise Kamsa. Better be safe than sorry. It's the eighth child, okay, but look, let's be on the safe side. Let's just kill them all. And then Kamsa became influenced by them, and that's what they did. That's what they actually did. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, headed by Nanda Maharaj, and including his associate cowherd men and their wives, were none but denizens of the heavenly planets, O Maharaj Pariksit, best of the descendants of Bharat. And so too were the descendants of the Vrishni dynasty, headed by Vasudev and Devaki and the other women of the dynasty of Yadu. The friends, relatives, and well-wishers of both Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev, and even those who externally appeared to be followers of Kamsa, were all demigods. Once, the great saint Narada approached Kamsa and informed him of how the demoniac persons who were a great burden on the earth were going to be killed. Thus, Kamsa was placed into great fear and doubt. Kamsa, Narada Muni. Narada Muni is trying to disturb Kamsa. He's trying to disturb him by making him fearful for his life. Don't forget that eighth child. Don't forget. He came and spoke like that to Kamsa to invoke Kamsa's fear, his envy, and his concern for himself. Narada Muni, his idea, well, he wanted to inspire Kamsa like that, so he would kill the first children as quickly as possible, so Krishna would appear as quickly as possible. It may sound a little fantastic. He's sort of inspiring the demon to be more demoniac. But actually the idea is to accelerate the appearance of the Lord. And even Prabhupada explains in the purport of that verse we were looking at about how different people can do different things. Prabhupada says, Vasudeva also wanted to accelerate the appearance of the Lord. Therefore, he and Devaki, as soon as one child was born, immediately they would conceive another child. Immediately. They wouldn't wait for a while. Immediately. Because he wanted the Lord to appear. as quickly as possible. So these things were going on. Kamsa then went on his rampage. And this is all leading up to, at least, first of all, the appearance of Lord Balaram. And then the appearance of Lord Krishna. So we will read further about these things and about the actual appearance of Lord Krishna tonight. Sri Krishna Janmasthami Mahotsavai Ki. Sri Krishna Janmasthami Mahotsavai Ki. Sri Krishna Janmasthami.